Our text this morning is a portion of the reading for this day from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." In Jesus' name, my fellow redeemed, I think I can safely speak for all the returning vicars when I say it is with great joy that we return to a community this year that at the seminary is full of life and vigor, is crowded and very busy. And it's especially gratifying to see such a large attendance at the morning chapel services, at least so far. And it's along those lines that I'd like to tell you a little story. It's about a first-year student who came to his first chapel service. And as he sat there in the midst of the packed chapel, he thrilled at the confession of so many male voices as they made that bold confession of their faith. He even felt a tingling sensation go up and down his spine as he joined in singing the praises of Almighty God. And he thought how wonderful it was to join together in worship with so many other brothers who had dedicated their lives to service in our Lord's church. Then classes got into full swing. There were many other pressures on him. Fieldwork demanded time. There were countless papers and tests. And after taking a course in homiletics, he looked more and more critically at the sermons in chapel and decided that many of them really weren't worth listening to anyway. And so his chapel attendance became sporadic. He attended very infrequently. But he figured that many of his classmates must also have been thinking along the same lines, because those few times he did go, he noticed a marked decrease in chapel attendance. Well, I must confess to you that little story is autobiographical, yet I would maintain that the tendency each year of chapel attendance to decrease as the year goes along would indicate that there are many others who have struggled or are struggling with this same thing. Now, this homily is not an attempt to lay a guilt trip on everybody so that we all come to chapel more often. However, it is a plea for us to each examine his own heart. Because we must realize that the problem lies not in an occasional dull sermon, but in our own sinful nature. There is a constant danger in an academic community such as ours to put on a front of false humility or even of arrogance. And this danger was described by a student from this pulpit a few years ago in words that I have remembered ever since. He said, "We tend to say, chief of sinners though I be, you know who is worse than me." Well, how terrible if the visible example of our worship life together in this place is marked by a despising of preaching and the Word of God. It is only as we truly humble ourselves, as did Bartimaeus, and cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," that we can hope to overcome the old Adam in each of us. And even as Jesus called Bartimaeus, so he also calls us. He calls us in his word, which is indeed the word of life. It is in his word that he speaks to us the comforting message of forgiveness. The scriptures and verses we're all very familiar with testify to God's great love for us. Love so great that he sent his son to die for us in our place for our sins. The scriptures are also our daily guide for living. It is in the scriptures that we find a code for conducting our daily lives. And it is in the scriptures that we find a list of qualifications for the pastoral office, qualifications that can never be attained but by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. While we are here at the seminary, we are to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we cultivate in ourselves the fervent desire to hear God's word preached regularly and often. It is here that we must continue to develop the desire to attend our Lord's Supper frequently, where we receive his body and blood, the forgiveness of our sins, and the strengthening of our faith. We must heed Luther's exhortation to daily renew our baptismal vow, so that by contrition and repentance we drown the old Adam that's in each of us, so that a new man might daily come forth and arise. For if we don't develop these qualities, if we don't have a fervent desire to be fed from word and sacrament while we're here, how can we expect to go out and have our parishioners do the very thing which we lack? And so Jesus calls us to himself. He calls us to study his word in the privacy of our own room. He calls us to lay before his throne of grace in prayer our needs and concerns, our triumphs and joys, to magnify his holy name. And he calls us to praise his name in corporate worship. He calls us to help the brother who is struggling, to admonish the brother who is in error, to build one another up in Christ. In 4 short years here at the seminary, we are trained to be ministers of the word and leaders of God's people. After just 4 short years, and for many of us that is now a matter of just months, the seminary says to us, in effect, go your way. What will become of us then? For trusting in our own insight and wisdom to carry us through in our ministry, it's a fact that all the theological training in the world will do us little good. The story of Bartimaeus in our text should be our example. Jesus' final words to Bartimaeus were, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And for Bartimaeus, that way was to follow his Lord and Master along the road. This then is the way we also are to go. May God grant us the mind of Christ, and the desire so both to do his will and to faithfully follow his way all our days. Amen.